I'm excited. Lee and his wife had ministered for many years in Latin America, and I hope he will share some of the stories and everything. And I'm really looking forward to that. Said the first assignment was in Guatemala.
Correct.
And so he knows many of the people that Pastor Scott is down there visiting with right now. And so it's kind of old home week, except they're down there and he's up here. But
go.
That's okay. We're glad to have you. And oh, one other thing I wanted to mention. My lovely wife picked up a book for me this week. You know how I like books, okay? This was on clearance. I like clearance books, too, because I'm a tightwad. But it happened to be by Lee Strobel. Any of you are familiar with Lee Strobel?
Amen.
Written some good books by, like, The Case for Christ and The Case for Creator. That's a great one. Well, this particular one is The Case for Miracles, published last year, very recent. And so he's traveling around his usual style, visiting with guys with PhDs and whatnot that really are knowledgeable on various things. And they just lay out the evidence of what's going on. And so he visits with a number of people who can say, okay, here is what God did. This is documented by doctors and everything. We have proof this happened. This is not just somebody's hopeful thinking. This is something somebody was, you know, in one instance, somebody was dead for 3 hours. And then they all of a sudden came back to life because somebody was praying. A gal with MS shriveled up to almost nothing. Lost her sight, lost her hearing, and the Lord appeared to her and healed her. That's documented by doctors. Restored her Amen. To full health. So God is still in the business of changing lives. Not just what happened back there in the time Christ walked on the earth and the time after that when his disciples were planting the church. No, he is still alive and well, and I'm looking forward to what Lee has to share with us. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Good morning, everybody. How are we doing today? Well, 41 people are praying for you today on my Facebook page. Hallelujah. So something's going to happen, I think. I'm really excited. Can I just scoot this down a little bit? Thank you. There you go. Now I feel taller. Yes. Well, one guy from Kenya. Now, I have a philosophy on Facebook. I'll take almost anybody. That has its strengths and weaknesses, by the way. If you want to be my wife's friend, she has like a couple hundred. I've got like several thousand. Now, the reason I do that, I just view it as another audience, you know, to share the gospel and preach. But my wife, no, you're her friend. So she's had the spouses of some of her friends want to be her friend, won't take them. No way. So if you can get to be my wife's friend, you are a very special person. But because of that, this morning, I got a guy from Kenya saying, whoa, there's a Foursquare church in Lebanon. And I wrote back, and he says, the gospel must be preached to the entire world, you know. And so I had to write him back and said, sorry, Lebanon, Oregon, USA. He goes, oh. So we're counting on you guys. Maybe you're the church to go plant in Lebanon, Middle East, right? But a little bit about my life, and I came with my wife's parents today. Go ahead and raise your hands. We call them Opa and Oma, which is German for Grandpa and Grandma. And they were missionaries in Brazil and in Venezuela. We're up in Everett, Washington for many, many years on staff at New Life Center there in Everett. And so they came with me, so I wasn't going by myself. So it's so good to be here with you. Gosh, I've never been to Lebanon, so I just keep going up the I-5, and here we are, God's country, amen? Can I get an amen on that one? So I want to tell you a little bit about myself. My wife and I were missionaries originally in Guatemala from 1984 to 87. My best friends are your pastor's best friends. So that's what's so strange, that Pastor Scott knows some of my best friends. And so it's like, hey, you know Ricardo? Yeah, you know Ricardo's son Juan Carlos? Yeah, you know Wendy? Yeah, knows them all. And so it's like the best friend of my best friend is my now becoming my best friend. That's Pastor Scott. So I'm really, really connected with your pastor because of Guatemala. And really excited to be that he's there, that he continues to be there. And one of the secrets that Pastor Scott has truly learned, which I try to get churches to think about all the time, is keep going back to the same place if you can. Long-term, consistent investment really produces a lot of fruit. And so I saw his picture on Facebook where he was preaching at the youth camp. And I know they were pretty pumped to have him there, and God was really moving. So let's give Pastor a big hug when he gets back and say, Pastor, you're amazing. So will you do that for me, okay? Can I count on you? Yeah. I'm getting some nodded heads. A few of you are going, okay, well, maybe I'll think about it. But most of you will do it. I got that impression that the majority will. So we're in Mark chapter 10 today, and I want to talk about reckless faith. Now, this is the precursor to Palm Sunday. So you might say, this would probably have been the sermon to have last week, but I just happened to show up this week. And so we're going to do it this week, where we talk about the healing of blind Bartimaeus. And by the way, he had a buddy with him, according to the Gospel of Matthew. So there were two blind men, but we only hear about Bartimaeus. But I want to talk a little bit about healing, signs and wonders, and why I just love the Foursquare Church. I wasn't raised Foursquare, by the way, but I came into Foursquare Church out of a traditional Protestant liturgical background. And one of the things that I really admire about our founder, Sister Amy Semple McPherson, was the fact that Sister McPherson was able to combine two issues regarding healing that, in my opinion, we still struggle with today. And it's this. She was a revivalist. She would go out and preach the gospel in huge stadiums. Lots of people would get healed. Amazing things. I mean, the testimonies, they're pretty amazing. But then she goes back to her church in Los Angeles. It was called Angel's Temple, if you didn't know that. And she was able to come up with a model that healing could continue on. Now, we have revivalistic healing is one thing. You know, that's glorious. I was in a revivalistic meeting a couple months ago. 140 people were healed in every single service. And they were some amazing healings. If I had more time, I'd show you one of them. I actually videotaped this woman who was from Colombia. Her name was Kaya Gao. She has a Chinese last name. She's a missionary to Taiwan. Changed her last name to a Chinese last name. Pretty amazing. She had damaged the nerve in her back from lifting weights like 6 years ago and could not sit down. She gave the name of the nerve. It's a very technical term. Couldn't sit down without extreme pain. I mean, pain like at 10, you know, 0 to 10. 0 is no pain. 10 is lots and lots of excruciating pain where you got to get medicated, morphine, the whole deal. She's at 10 just sitting down. So she had to spend a lot of her time just laying down, and walking didn't help either. Walking was somewhat painful. Sitting was horrible. So I'm in this service, and it's amazing. And then all of a sudden, Kaya just starts bouncing up and down on the chair. And I'm like freaking out. I'm going, oh, my God. In my head, I'm going, this is crazy. Like, bum, 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 bum. I thought, wow, this is really bizarre. And so later she testifies. So she stops. Something has happened. She goes up on the platform later and testifies about her nerve and that she's completely pain-free for the first time in 6 years. Now, because she spoke Spanish, she's Colombian, I actually videotaped her because I like to travel around with testimonies of healing, because Revelation chapter 19 says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So what do we mean by that? Well, basically, the testimonies that we have in the Word of God, and especially of the resurrection, really become the foretelling of what God wants to do today. I'll repeat that. The testimonies in the Bible, and especially the resurrection, is the foretelling of what God wants to do today. Can I get an amen? Okay, there you go. That coffee really clicks in at the right moment, doesn't it? So I go around and I tell testimonies of stuff that I've experienced. Because what happens in the room is most of us aren't accustomed to a whole lot of stuff like Gaia happening, or Kaya, excuse me, happening in a service. Now, by the way, if that happens, hallelujah. I don't know. It's the first time I saw it. That was 2 months ago that I'd seen that happen. I wasn't preaching, by the way, somebody else was. But it was amazing. It was amazing based on the fruit, not so much the manifestation. Okay? Because at the end of the day, it's the fruit that determines whether it was God and not really the manifestation. Manifestation can go all over the map. I've seen manifestations. There was one guy in Panama. We were missionaries in Guatemala 3 years, Panama 5 years, and Chile 7 years. So I think we're in this for the long run, don't you think? I mean, some are wondering, are they really? Is he really a missionary? Yes, I am. So anyway, we had this guy that was a district supervisor, became a district supervisor, was walking by a Foursquare church on a Tuesday morning when the women were meeting, and he had been a drug dealer, killed some people, pretty dark life, happens to be walking, and he goes in and makes this mistake. He goes in and sits in the back row to listen to what these holy rollers are doing. And he said, 3 hours later, I woke up, and I was transformed. Because these, apparently he had walked forward. He said, I do remember going forward at one point, received Jesus, and they were just praying over him, casting demons out of him for like 3 hours. And he woke up a transformed person. Now, looking at that, you may go, oh, that's kind of messy. But the fruit was transformed life. You got it? So if we're really going to measure stuff, we have to look at what was the fruit of that as the first question we ask. By their fruits you will know them, right? Amen? So let me tell you my story, and then I want to talk about Mark chapter 10. I was in northern Chile in February 2009. We moved to Chile in October of 2008. 2009, I'm in the northern town of Tocopilla. Tocopilla is a mining town. Nitrates, if you don't know much about mining, but Chile was like the number one nitrate exporter in the world, which is used in gunpowder, and it's also used you'll love this one, preserving our sandwiches, and our sandwich meats and stuff like that. The nitrates, the salts, the sodium, it's nitrates. But anyway, the Germans synthesized nitrates, and so that put the Chileans out of business about 100 years ago. But they still mine nitrates there. So I'm a mining town on the coast of northern Chile. Chile, by the way, just to give you a quick idea, think of Arizona and New Mexico to the north and Oregon and Washington to the south. That's the geography of Chile. Deserts to the north, pine forest to the south. So it's completely opposite of what our geography is. And, of course, it's below the equator, so a lot of other things like water swirls opposite of what it does here. It's kind of curious. World done. And no snakes in the whole country, believe it or not. Not a single poisonous snake. So, love Chile. I'm in the north, and but it's also like one of the earthquake capitals of the world. We were in an 8.0 earthquake in 2010, and that's, by the way, 2.5 minutes of shaking, and you think you're going to go home to be with Jesus. You know, and you actually wish at the points that you did, but it was 2.5 minutes. So that's what an 8.0 earthquake looks like. So I'm in February 2009, northern Chile. We went to go survey a church that had been damaged. And so it's a Tuesday night, and they start services really late. They'll go like 8 o'clock at night, and they'll go till 11. I mean, they've gone till midnight on a weeknight. It's crazy. And they still get them go to work. It's crazy. At least I think it's crazy. You know, would you like to go to church that late on a weeknight? No, right? It's crazy. So 8 o'clock at night, service starts, and I'm the guest speaker. And I felt the Lord impress me to speak on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. 6 people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I checked my box, and I'm ready to get out of there. It's like 10 o'clock at night. I want to go to bed because I'm an American. We go to bed earlier. And so and I had a 3-hour drive after that to get back to the house we were staying at down farther on the coast. So I know some of you are like, oh, you're a missionary. You're supposed to be like 24/7, right? No, not this guy. So not me. Some of them are, but not me. I'm not going to go there. So the pastor gets up and says, God's been using Pastor Lee a lot lately in miracles. How many of you, you know, got some kind of illness or something? Like 25 people stand up, and I'm going, oh, my gosh. You know, in my mind, I'm going, please, no, beam me up, Scotty. I got to get out of here because, you know, that's a lot of people to pray for, and it's going to take me an hour and a half at least to get through 25 people. So I said, wait a minute, everybody, let's just do this. Let's ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. How's that for a get out, right? I learned that, Pastor Bob, a long time ago. Let's ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. So I said, okay, let's pray. Everybody take your hand. Holy Spirit, come. And we'll do that today, by the way. Ask the Holy Spirit what he wants to do. But I've learned that it actually works. So I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? And I get three thoughts to come to my mind. These were words of knowledge. If you're not familiar with what a word of knowledge is, it's not that you know, you don't know everything about the person. You just know a little slice of information about their life. That's it. Boom. And so it's not revealing the secrets of their hearts, or I guess God could do that. You know, that can happen. But it's basically what's going on. What does he want to do? So schizophrenia, blind left eye, and the other one was diabetes, were the three words that came to my mind. So I'm going to show you in a little bit about an earlier healing, but I actually thought the blind left eye was the easy one to go after because schizophrenia really scared me because I didn't know what I was getting into. Diabetes I'd never prayed for, and so let's go with blind left eye. So I said, anybody here have blind left eye? This woman raises her hand. Her name is Maria. Raises her hand. She says, well, I do. And I says, okay, well, come on up, Maria. So now the 25 people have sat down. We just got Maria in the front. And then the other two ladies also come up. And so, Maria, let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit how I'm supposed to pray for you. And this thought comes to my mind, trauma at 6 years old. Just, that's it. Bing, trauma. Kind of like a, not a butterfly, but a flutterby, you might say, kind of thing. Just blink, there it goes. So you learn that that's probably the Lord, because I would never come up with that on my own. So I said, though, did you have a trauma when you were 6 years old? And guess what she starts doing? She just starts crying. I mean, it's a gully washer. Now, I've also learned that when something like that happens is you want to protect the person's dignity. Can I get an amen? God does not want to embarrass us. Can I also get another amen? When Jesus prayed for the gathering demoniac, it said he left him in clothed, there's dignity, and in his right mind. So he restored his dignity. So we always want to be careful with the issues of dignity. So I said, you know what, can a couple of ladies go out and pray for Maria? So there was two pastors. There was Julia, the co-pastor of the church, and Nora was the district supervisor. So they took her outside the main sanctuary and they were praying for her. So there you go. And I'm sad. My mind's going to check that box, you know. I don't have to mess with that one now. And so, and then now we have the person with diabetes, the person with schizophrenia. So I said, okay, Lord, what do we do with schizophrenia? And the Lord just said to me, tell her that Victor, the pastor, and Julio will pray for her later, and that this was to build her faith. Okay? So I said to her publicly, I think God's building your faith, letting you know that you don't have to continue suffering with this. We're going to pray that when you go in for counseling with Victor and Julia, God will heal you. And so, amen, we prayed and done with, you know, schizophrenia. And diabetes, we prayed for her, and she felt heat going through her body. She says, I'm feeling heat going through my entire body. And I said, well, that's usually God giving us some kind of a sign that he's up to something to build our faith once again. And so we prayed healing from diabetes. Now go to the doctor and let him verify that you are healed. Don't quit taking your insulin. Don't go crazy on me. Just let the doctor verify. Can I get an amen on that? How many believe God gave us doctors? Yay, I believe that. Totally. Now, they're not the final word. God is the final word. But God gave us doctors. Okay, so hallelujah. So then Maria comes rolling in. She's walking back in the sanctuary like 10 minutes later. And I go, Maria, I can see her face has changed. What's happened to you? She says, I'm beginning to see out of my blind left eye. Really? Come on up here. Now I want to pray, right? Now my faith is really going there. So I said, okay, let's Holy Spirit show us how to pray for Maria. And the Lord just said to me, command the eye to be healed. That's the thought that came into my head. Command the eye to be healed. Now it could have been break any works of darkness or pray for emotional healing, but it was basically speak to the organic problem. So that's what I did. Eye be healed in Jesus' name. Cover your good eye. Open your bad eye. And so then I said, so I said, what happened after we prayed? She says, here's what she says. I can see 23% better. Now, I'm pretty happy, but I'm also thinking, how do you know 23%? I mean, excuse me, are you an ophthalmologist? In my head, I'm going, are you an ophthalmologist? What are you, you know? So, but I'm being very, very dignified because I'm the pastor, you know. I'm gonna, okay, Maria, let's pray again, you know. So I said, cover your good eye. Let's pray again. And so, in Jesus' name, I be healed. Now what happened? You know, cover your good eye. Let's pray. She says, I can see 85% better. Now, once again, my hair's on fire at that point, where what little I had at the time. But I'm like going, how does she know it's 85%? I mean, it's like 23, 85. How do you know? But obviously had really improved. And so then the next thing I did, so cover your good eyes, let's pray again. You know, Lord, how do I pray? Command the eye to be healed. In Jesus' name, I be healed. And I said, what time is it? I'll never forget this as long as I live. She said, 10:30. Her eye had been completely healed. And you know what the response was in the room? Silence. We were all like this. That was the response. We were all in shock that Jesus had showed up and none of us expected it to happen, and he healed this woman's eye. Now, to tell you where my faith was really at, I was so freaked out that I would like start doubting myself and believe it never really happened, and it was like I made it up in my head. I videotaped her after the service. So later I videotaped it, and then we dubbed it. My wife is, you know, I dubbed it. So it's Terry, right? Terry, this is Maria testifying after the service how she got healed. So go ahead. Videotape, not that one, sorry.
Hello, my name is Maria Bastias Corbolan, and I'm from Chile, and I am 42 years old. My problem is, or my problem was, my vision, or I had one eye that was medically blind. I could only see a dark circle with my left eye. Well, I really could not see anything. I went to see the doctors and spent a lot of money, but I saw no improvement. The last doctor I went to, he told me, look, honey, don't spend any more money on glasses, because the more you use the corrective lenses, the more your right eye is going to get worse, and slowly you will lose the rest of your vision. But God had something else to say. On exactly the 23rd of February of 2009, here in Tocopilla, Chile, the city I live in, I glorify and I honor the Lord, because that was my day. It was a day of blessing and healing for my eye. I glorify and honor the Lord because with my bad eye, I can read the Bible now. I know the Lord knows my heart, because I wanted to work, but working with one eye that can't see and the other one that can was very difficult. But I thank God, because I can now see. I kind of laughed to myself because the Lord surprised me, since without realizing, I was not allowing the Lord to heal me. But he knows my heart, and for that I give him thanks, first and foremost to Jesus.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Okay, so why couldn't she work with two eyes? Because she's a seamstress, and try to thread a needle and close your eye. It's really hard to do. So that I found that out later. Says, well, what was the problem with working? She says, I'm a seamstress, and it was just killing her to thread needles. So, and her cousin is the pastor of the church. I also found that out later. So that was my first, that was actually my second experience with somebody's eye being healed. And quite frankly, I was pretty blown away. And by the way, we ended up praying for 3 hours after that. I got to bed at 5 a.m. So, you know, tough, right? Tough luck. I mean, God won in the end, right? So I want to talk about reckless faith this morning out of Mark chapter 10. Because Bartimaeus is in a similar situation to Maria, in that here's his chance. Jesus is walking down the street, and I love his reaction. So go ahead and turn with me to Mark chapter 10. I believe it's verse 46. And there's some great principles here on healing. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. I'm reading out of the NIV, Mark 10, if I can find Mark 10, here we go, 10:46. Then they came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, by the way, of all the gospel writers, only Mark mentions his name, the son of Timaeus, was sitting on by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." You can just imagine, they're like, "Hey, buddy, shut up. Come on, it's Jesus." And he's going, "No, Jesus, Son of David." "No, shut up. Come on, cool it." Shit, he's just going louder and louder. His volume's increasing. And then finally Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man and said, "Cheer up. On your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So this is the story that occurs right before the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It's really interesting that Jesus, now for the first time publicly, is letting somebody call him Son of David. But it's a guy that needed healing. Now my first experience, if you go ahead and put that earlier, or the second slide up there, Terry, this is my first experience with somebody's blind eye getting healed, and it happened at 17,000 feet in the Atacama Desert of northern Chile. I mean, this is the far north of Chile. From Tocopilla, this is another day's drive driving north, right to close to the Peruvian border. And I was with this couple. The wife took the picture. There's the husband, Renee. And we were up there among villages and a group of people called the Aymara Indians. Now, these people live way, 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 way up there, high altitudes. They grow llamas. They have some type of a wheat, I think they put up there through irrigation. There's crops that they grow. So I said to them, this was just kind of winging it. I said to him, his name was Tomas, her name was Cruz. I said to Tomas, "How can we pray for you?" And he said, "Well, pray for my crops." And I said, "I noticed, I could see he has a blind left eye too." I said, "Are you blind in your left eye?" He goes, "Yeah." "Well, let's pray for that as well." So we pray for the crops to get better. And then I was actually training this couple that was with me on how to pray for the sick. So I said, "Let's ask the Holy Spirit to show us how to pray again." And the Lord just says, "Command the eye to be healed." That's what the thought that came to my head. So I said to Renee, "Command the eye to be healed." So he goes, "In Jesus' name, I be healed." And I'll never forget this as long as I live. Tomas looked at me and this he said to me in Spanish, "Con mi ojo ciego puedo ver tu camisa blanca." With my blind eye, I can now see your white shirt. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. I mean, that was my response. Are you sure? And he can, we're motioning him. How many fingers? All that kind of stuff. We didn't do that. But we were verifying. You were healed. He goes, "Yeah, I can see now." And he had his right eye covered. And so that took probably no more than 5 minutes. Now, we prayed three times. I know we prayed several times. And by the way, Jesus prayed twice for one blind man. Remember the story where he says to the guy, "Okay, how do you see people?" And he says to them, "I see men as trees walking," So basically it was a progressive healing. So if Jesus can pray twice, I'm happy to pray 20. Right? Because if you see progress, then you keep going. All right? Now, it still doesn't address the issue of what do you do when people don't get healed, right? This is going to happen. Now, by the way, everybody that went to Jesus got healed. So we can't ever be satisfied it doesn't happen. We have to keep contending for more. We have to recognize it does happen. So that's what I like about Mrs. McPherson, our founder. She was a revivalist going out and preaching in big, massive events and lots of healings. But then back at Angela's Temple, she had what was called the 500 room. And after the service, you could go to the 500 room, and they would pray for 3 or 4 hours into Sunday afternoon, probably until the next service time. Because sometimes healing just takes time to occur. And so if we're all sitting here going, I got a lunch appointment, why don't they get this healing stuff over with? I mean, it really takes away from the atmosphere. So what I do is I just, at the end of a service, now I'll give words of knowledge. Who had a word of knowledge? Raise your hand. And how many people will pray for healing then? How many got healed? Last year, and this isn't about me, this is all about Jesus, about 50% of the people got healed when I gave a word of knowledge. So I'm going, hallelujah. Now the reason why is because over time, I'm watching testimonies, I'm watching other ministries pray for the sick, I am filling my mind with the word of God. I mean, I'm building my faith as much as I can because I want to be my sharpest, as Pastor Eric says, I want to be the best lead that I can possibly be. I want to do my best because I want to be ready for whatever the Lord wants to do. I want to effectively get out of His way. And getting out of His way means sometimes just surrendering and say, okay, go ahead, Jesus, you do it now. I don't know what I'm doing. Because none of us never know what we're doing completely. So a lot of guesswork. So back to Bartimaeus. First thing, go ahead, next slide there, Terry. What was his reaction? He declared divinity over the cruelty of the crowd. The people are telling him to shut up. He's like going, no way, this is my chance. Now, sometimes we need that desperation to really get hold of the Lord. I remember somebody, and I won't go into the details of this, but one time a friend said to me, like, and it was just kind of a, why are you going to speak at that church? And this is what they said. Is that like a political thing for you? Not knowing. There's no political things like I go to this church because it would be politically better for my career as a four-square minister to go speak at this church. I mean, the first question in my mind is like, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because I never know what He's going to do, and I don't want to be the person that said no because people will get healed. So I was in Bend, Oregon last weekend. I was preaching at a Hispanic church. And by the way, very wonderful Hispanic church. I love preaching in Spanish, of course. And the last person to get healed was the pastor's mom. She'd had 3 strokes, blurred vision. We prayed for her, and she got clarity and started crying. Well, if it was only for her, that, you know, and by the way, it was a lot of trouble last weekend. The weather wasn't that great. And coming back, rain, or, you know, lots of rain in the Sandingham Pass and all that kind of stuff. It was not an easy gig to do, if I can call it a gig. I mean, we went there. My wife went with me. It was wonderful. But for that little old lady, that woman, to get her eyes cleared up, it was so worth it. It was so, I mean, I walked out of there going, oh, Jesus, you amaze me. I was just amazed. Now, 2 other people got healed partially. Another woman got majorly healed the day before. Word of God was preached. We're all happy. But just for her alone, it was worth it. So here's Bartimaeus, and he's saying, I don't care what all you people think. This is the Son of God. He used the messianic term, the Son of David. He understood who Jesus was and what He could do. Now, by the way, Jericho, if you've never studied Jericho, I never knew this till about several months ago when I prepared this as a part of a sermon series. Jericho was like the wealthy suburbs of a large city, Jerusalem being a large city. But here's Archelaus and King Herod. They built their summer homes out there. They had detachments of Roman soldiers on several hills overlooking them to protect them, kind of a gated community, the original version of a gated community. And so it was called the City of Palms. So it was a cool place to live if you could afford it and you're the king. And so Bartimaeus is setting himself strategically in a place where he's going to get lots of money. And you would too if you had his problem. Because there was no Social Security to take care of the blind people back then. And so he's in a situation where he's thinking, this is my chance. I believe there are strategic moments in our life when we have to say, Jesus, I want everything you have for me. I want it now. I want it today because I'm desperate. It's a great place to be. But sometimes we just kind of take it, well, you know, and here's one of the biggest errors in our healing theology is, well, it's just the sovereignty of God. And sometimes we relegate so much stuff to it's just the sovereignty of God that I go, no way. If that were true, then there would have been at least several people that went to Jesus to get healing. He would have said, I'm sorry, I talked to the Father, and He says, it's His sovereignty, and you just got to live with it. That never happened once. Amen. That never happened a single time. Everybody that went to Jesus got healed. Every single one, 1,000%. And when He commissions His disciples in Matthew chapter 10, He says, heal the sick. He didn't say, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. So the commission was to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. In other words, go for it. Go for it all the way. So part of our challenge is, I don't know about you, but it's kind of adjusting our thinking. Actually saying, Lord, I bet you could do anything you want today if we just believe. Now, Mark chapter 9, I love the son of that little boy that's demonized, you know. Disciples are having a big argument with the Pharisees and the scribes and all those kind of folks. And then, you know, Jesus is coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. He shows up. They're all arguing. And this poor father says, I went to your disciples and they could not deliver my son. And Jesus says, well, anything's possible to those that believe. And now his response is, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody else identify with that one? Oh, Jesus, help my unbelief. But I like the fact that he said, help me overcome my unbelief. So right away, it's like, okay, Lord, I don't know if this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen, but please help me have more faith. You know what he wants to do? He'll give you faith. Faith is a gift from God. I used to think faith was something I worked myself up to. You know, I'm going to believe, 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 I'm going to believe. And all of a sudden, I'm going, I don't believe. But I said, Lord, would you give me faith? And he'll impart faith. He'll give us faith by reading his word. He'll just give us faith supernaturally. I was in a meeting 2 months ago, and I said, Lord, give me faith. In fact, in that meeting, that revival I was in, I said, Lord, would you give me more faith? So here's this pastor from back in Pennsylvania praying over everybody. You know what he prayed over me? He's going just down the line praying for you. He says, the Lord showed me to pray for faith for you, brother. You need fire in your ministry. You need lots of fire. He says, he said, the gift of faith. I'm exactly what I prayed for from God is what he prayed over me. I think, I think God's speaking here. And you know what I noticed after that happened? I was just calmer about it. A lot of stuff wasn't getting under my nerves. Even my wife, her parents are here, noticed, boy, you're not so torqued out about some things, honey. I know, I got a little more faith. I got a hit of faith at the revival meeting. The guy pulled out a syringe and he just shot it right in. I was wired, you know. But it's true. I literally walked away going, gosh, I think I have more faith now. In fact, I know I do. Little things that used to bother me, they're not bothering me so much. Because I feel like I'm getting a hold of what he's all about. With God, nothing's impossible. Amen? So back to Bartimaeus. Next slide. Number two. He renounces past way of thinking and living. Mark chapter 10, verse 50. Let's look at this verse. I love this verse. This is like a totally awesome, cool verse. Verse 50, it says here, well, Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up on your feet. He's calling you. And throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. Now think about this cloak. This cloak was kind of like the symbol of his entire past life. This is a particular kind of cloak. Very heavy. It's for wearing, it's an outer wear. It's to keep you warm when it's really cold. And undoubtedly, according to some scholars, he spread it out for people to throw their money on his cloak during the day. And so think about this for a second. He gets called by Jesus, and guess what he does? He throws his cloak away. He's basically saying, my old life is done. I'm not going to keep living like I used to live. The thing that kept me secure and warm at night is no longer going to be needed for me. Because he tossed his cloak. Pretty bold statement. And so I look at that and I go, Lord, show us what we need to renounce today. Is there unbelief in our hearts? Lord, take it away. We renounce that, Jesus. Help me to have an open heart, Lord, to whatever you want to do. Help me not to judge people that can get healed when I don't get healed. Now, can we go back to Thomas real quick at 17,000 feet? Actually, 5,250 meters was the exact height, if you want to know, in case you're taking statistics there. No, Steve, I thought you looked like you were, there you go, taking notes. So 5,250 meters, 17,000 feet high. He's in his 90s. He may not be alive today. Probably isn't. Probably went home to be with Jesus. But if I'm going to pick somebody to get a blind eye healed, I'm probably going to go for the, 2 to 10-year-olds because they got the rest of their life to live. Hey, you hit 90, I'm sorry, you know, go to the back of the line. God doesn't care. He heals whoever he wants to heal. In fact, he says he'll even let the rain go down on the unjust as well as the just. His mercy is so great. So we can't sit around and say, well, gee, why is this person getting healed and I'm not getting healed? or my friend isn't getting healed. I remember after my father passed away, seeing a man that resembled my father in a mall, and at first it's like something rose up in me, like, why is that guy still alive? And I, oh, sorry, Lord. It's just that once again the sense of human injustice. But it's his call. Of course, my dad was ready to go home with Jesus, and I know he's not a better place. And so we can't ever compare. The worst thing we can do is compare who gets healed and who doesn't get healed. And so that's why I like Mrs. McPherson said she had the 500 room, and she embraced the fact that, hey, we're going to do healing as a church, and this is how we're going to do it in a Sunday environment, and we're going to have it in a room designated for that. So if you want to go get healed, you go there. Our service won't be interrupted. I mean, I was reading one of the scholars that said, it's not known that any service was ever interrupted with tongue interpretation. Now, when you have several thousand people, hard to do it. So the logistics of the large numbers mandated certain things, but she never gave up the importance of healing in ministry. So she took a pastoral model of healing and combined it with her revivalistic model of healing. And that's our heritage. We got to do both. Now, we don't want to shut the healing down all the way because, oh my gosh, what if we have everybody come up here today and, okay, he said 50%. Well, what if only 30% get healed? Gee, I'm willing to go for 30. How about you? You want to go? Want to try for 30 today? Yeah, why not? 50. I want to go for 50. Let's go for 60 today because we're in Lebanon, remember? Hallelujah. So let's go for even higher percentages and not just be satisfied with the past. And that was, by the way, something the Lord dealt with me 2 years ago. He says, start getting into my word. I was depressed after a service in Southern California because only two or three people got healed. And I'm going, God, what's going on? He says, you're the problem. Get in my word. Study my word. Study revivals. And since that point in time, we're on a crescendo. But, you know, Paul said, desire spiritual gifts. That means you got to be proactive. That means you just don't sit around passively saying, well, if God wants to give me the gift of healing, he'll give me the gift of healing. You know, no, he won't. You've got to want it. He might give it to you once just to show you. I prayed for a guy a month ago living, in my opinion, a very dark life as a Christian, not repenting from a lot of his sins, and God healed him. Now, once again, it had been my choice, and I knew what he was into. Before I prayed for him, I might have gone, I don't know if God wants to heal you, but he did. He did. He healed the guy. I wouldn't have healed the guy, but God did. Okay? All right? Can we just be honest for a second? So when we look at renouncing the past way of thinking and living, you know, Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things, that's clothing and, you know, things to eat, will be given unto you. But it's seek the kingdom and its righteousness, and these material blessings are all yours. But the righteousness piece is live a good life. Be a just person. Be kind. Be benevolent. Be loving. So all that counts. God loves to bless people that are blessers. Turn to the person next to you and says, you should be a blesser. You should be a blesser. Amen? We're supposed to be people that are fountains of blessing. So, number three, go ahead and jump over. He declared his need and anticipated his change. And there's the faith piece. So, I just want to mention, I want to back up real quick instead of jumping up to 51. Back up with me to verse. So they called the blind man, cheer up. I just want to talk about cheer up real quick and then we'll finish this. So the word for cheer up, is the word, now actually I wrote this, I looked this up in the original language. You got to check this out with me. Be cheer, okay, so it's the word, here it goes, therese, say therese. Therese, okay, here's what that word cheer up means. It means, it occurs seven times in the New Testament, six of them are from the lips of Jesus. It means to be cheerful and to have courage and be bold. And it's always in the context of healing. So basically, what the people are now saying to him is, cheer up, Jesus is calling you. So it's like, be happy, be bold. It's like you just hit the lottery. It's the same kind of thing. You ever seen anybody get up on when they get those big checks from the lottery, you know, monsters? Oh, I'm so bummed, I won, you know, $2 million. They're like going, yes, my life is forever changed. Now, some of them don't do so well afterwards, we know that. But bold, joyful, they got it. Same word. Cheer up. He's calling you. And for me, that's how that word of knowledge piece works. Because it's like they just got a word of knowledge, like, hey, cheer up. God's singling you out in this group saying, I want to heal somebody with this particular problem. You know, diabetes, schizophrenia. By the way, I think that's the only time I've ever gotten that word of knowledge was in that first meeting. And then blind eye. I've had multiple blind eye issues. In fact, can you put up there and show Shirley in Dover, Ohio? Because I want you to see Shirley with her eye issues, because it doesn't happen just
Shirley
overseas.
I'm from Dover, Ohio. I go to Dover Four Square Church.
Dover Four Square Church.
I came into service tonight with
turn
a
up
cataract,
a little bit.
With blurred vision, and I was healed because I have no blurred vision now, and I thank the good Lord for healing me. And I thank this Pastor Lee Schnabel for his
good
service
pronunciation,
tonight.
Right? So there's Shirley. That's Dover, Ohio. That's November of last year. And so God will do the same thing over there that it is here. Some people subconsciously think, well, you know, it's overseas. It's the mission field. And that's where the really cool stuff happens. No. Some of my best services have been in the United States. Dover was one of them. Lake Charles, Louisiana. 25 people got healed in Lake Charles, Louisiana. The first one was the pastor's mom who had cataracts. Second one was the pastor's dad, who was a physician that had severe issues with his arm, and he gave me all these technical words that kind of blew me away. And I says, Dr. Schumacher, can we just pray for you? And he goes, sure, just pray. So we prayed. He got healed. He had lost his range of motion. And so it doesn't just mean because you're overseas it happens. It happens in Lebanon, Oregon. It can happen in Lebanon too, right? Okay, so go ahead and go back to the last slide there, Terry. So we're now at this point at the end where, slide there, he declared his need and anticipated his change. There comes a point when we need to say, Lord, I need this. So we're going to pray right now. And I'm going to ask you just to pray in your head, Lord, this is what I need from you today. What do you need from Jesus the Sunday before Easter? And ask as big as you can in your head, whether it be physical, whether it be material, whatever it would be, you just ask Jesus as big as you can possibly think, because he wants to bless us. Now, if you have a friend that's sick, ask for their healing as well. I have a friend of mine, Caleb Brown, who lives in Bend. He does this all the time. I haven't done this yet. Maybe we'll try it today. I don't know. But he'll just say, if you got a friend that's not doing so well, call them right now. Get them on the phone, and they'll pray for them right there. And he's seeing tons of people get healed just through a cell phone call into a service. I thought, let's try that one sometime. Okay, so I don't know. Let's pray. So let's take the hand of the person next to you, and let's pray. Holy Spirit, I ask you now to come upon us and show us, well, first of all, Lord, I ask you to hear our prayers. As many people are just saying, Lord, I need you to do this. And Lord, I believe that your faith is filling us right now. So come, Holy Spirit. We just wait for you right now. Hallelujah, Lord. I thank you, Jesus, for your presence. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. I thank you, Lord, that we're part of a movement that embraces both pastoral healing and revivalistic healing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.
Father God, you have been walking in darkness for many years. Now is your time to come forth into the light. Let me cleanse you from your unrighteousness. Let me bring healing upon your heart, so that you may live whole and prosperous. Do not be shy. Come boldly before my throne, for I am here with open arms.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. So if that word fits you, get somebody in the room to pray for you and say, that was for me, and I want to renounce whatever I've been doing, and I want to be free from that bondage. And the Lord's here to heal you, and he's here to restore you, and he's here to make you clean. Amen. So Holy Spirit, we just ask you to continue to come. Show us what you want to do. Reveal your power today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So the word that's coming to my mind is hearing. I'm hearing the Lord say He wants to restore hearing this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody here have a healing hearing problem? You have hearing? Anybody hearing right here? Hearing. Okay. Hearing. Okay. All right. Let's keep going. Lord, I ask you to continue to show me what else you want to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word that's coming to my mind is chronic arthritis causing back pain. Anybody here with chronic arthritis causing back pain? Right there. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So you know what? Omo, will you come up here and help me for a second? I got to write these down. Now the reason why I do this is just because I keep track of what happens. So go ahead and write. Go ahead and stand up here with me. And then write number one. And then the first one was hearing. How many people had hearing issues? Hearing, okay. So we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people. 10 people with hearing. Okay. And then go ahead. Now, chronic back pain related to arthritis. Go ahead and raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 on chronic back pain. Okay, so let's keep praying. Holy Spirit, continue to reveal your plans and your heart for these folks today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word that's coming to my mind is blood infection. Anybody have some type of infection related to blood? Raise your hand. Okay. Anybody? So go write blood infection down. Didn't get anybody on that. Okay. So let's keep praying. Holy Spirit, we continue to wait upon you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the word that's coming to my mind is neck injury. Somebody had a neck injury here? Okay, neck injury. 2 people on neck injury. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. Go ahead and look at me now. Oh, no. I think we're supposed to have one more word. I'm sorry. Let's keep praying. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come upon. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come upon us right now. Hallelujah. 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 So I'm hearing hand injury that caused some type of disfigurement. Those are the words that came to my mind was hand and disfigurement. Okay, one. Anybody else? Hand and disfigurement? Okay. So I'm going to pray right now. And if you feel healing, then just raise your hand. You feel like I'm getting better, just raise your hand, okay, as I pray for each one of these. And then I'm going to pray again. And then for complete healing, and see how many people, and this isn't a joke, how many got about 80%, okay? And then we'll pray for complete healing, and then anybody wants to come forward can come forward, and we can dismiss the service and pray up here, okay? So thank you, Oma. So, Lord, I just ask your Spirit to come upon us. And go ahead, if you had a hearing problem, raise your hand. Lord, in Jesus' name, I command everybody with their hands raised to be healed. In Jesus' name, go ahead and touch your ears. If it's both of them or just one of them, touch both. Both or one, whatever it is, touch them. In Jesus' name, hearing be healed. In Jesus' name, tinnitus be gone. In Jesus' name, damage to the inner ear be gone. In Jesus' name, ears be healed. In Jesus' name, I command all hearing to be healed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, how many have noticed that your hearing has improved at all? Just raise your hand. I'm noticing improvement. Raise your hand. You're sensing improvement here. Anybody else? You're sensing hearing in your ears right now. It's improved. One person raised their hand. Anybody else? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else on their hearing? Okay. So I'm going to go on to the next one. We'll come back to hearing. One person noticed improvement. So chronic back pain. Go ahead and raise your hand if you have chronic back pain. Okay, if you can touch your back where it hurts. And if you can't, like there's a young lady back there, can somebody just lay their hands on your back without hurting you? I mean, it's not a joke, but sometimes I've learned, don't touch unless you get permission. So can you mind touching, laying hands on? I generally like the women to lay hands on the women. Nope, no problem. Sorry, sir. But yeah, both of you. But have, well, you know each other. You're friends. I know that's fine. I'm not trying. Sorry for the bad joke. But go ahead and lay hands on her, and sir, go ahead and lay hands on her shoulder. Okay, perfect, right there. Okay, anybody else that's not getting hands laid on them? If you can't touch your back, can you touch your back where it hurts? Okay, anybody else? Okay, everybody's touching their backs. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We invite your spirit now to come. Lord, I just take authority over any works of darkness that would try to hinder what you're doing today. So, Lord, together we agree that the works of darkness will not hinder the healing work of the Spirit. So we command any works of darkness, any unbelief now to leave in Jesus' name. And I command all these backs to be healed. Backs be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Inflammation be gone now. Muscles be healed. Vertebrae be restored in Jesus' name. A creative miracle in Jesus' name. Now go ahead. Those of you that have back problems, can you stand up right now? Go ahead and stand up if you have back problems. Can you stand, sir? Is it Joe? Is this Joe? Yeah, Joe, if you can stand up. You need help? Somebody help Joe up. Okay. So what I want you to do, and Jesus did this often, he would just tell them, he would have them extend their hand or get up. I want you just to move a little bit what you couldn't do before. Just move, and let's believe the Lord to heal. By your act of faith, there'll be improvement. So go ahead and move slightly, and then wave at me if you're sensing, let's say, 30% improvement. Any improvement? Any pain diminishing? Go ahead. Just, are you sensing any change in your back, sir? A little bit. Where are we at? 30, 40? Can you get a percentage on it? 30%, okay. Back there, any change in your back? No, okay. Sir, Bob? 20, okay. So we're going to go ahead and sit down, 20. And then neck injury. So we had some improvement there. Neck injury. Who had the neck injury? Joe, and then your name again? Morgan. Okay, Morgan. So can you touch your neck right there? Joe, touch your neck. Everybody extend your hands towards Morgan and Joe. Lord, we just agree right now for healing of both of these necks in Jesus' name. Command healing to flow into both these necks. Necks be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Joe, I just feel led to lay hands on you right now. In Jesus' name, I just command this neck to be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Vertebrae be healed, inflammation be gone. In Jesus' name, amen. But can you move your head forward, Joe, a little bit? Any change in your neck right now? No, none. How about your back? No. Okay, that's okay. No problem. Morgan, how's your neck doing? No change. Same. Okay, so go ahead and extend your hands toward Joe and Morgan. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come upon Joe and Morgan right now in Jesus' name. Show us how to pray for them. I command both these necks to be healed in Jesus' name. Necks be healed. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you that we don't have to work up to this. We thank you, Lord, that just like you healed Maria in Tokopia, you're going to heal Joe and Morgan as well with their necks. We just thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. So next, inflammation be gone now in Jesus' name. So Morgan, go ahead and move your head a little bit. Any change now? It's not as tight, so it's getting the range of motions improving. Okay, Joe, any change on your neck? So far, no. Okay, that's okay. We'll take a little bit of range of motion. Now let's pray for the last person, then we're going to pray through everybody again. So no one with a hand injury? No hand injuries? Hand injury. Oh, you had the hand injury. Okay. So, Steve, would you lay a hand on Joe real quick on his hand? Okay. So, Lord, we show him which hand it is. So let's extend our hands towards Joe. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you to come upon Joe right now. In Jesus' name, we just command this hand to be healed. In Jesus' name, Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise your name. Hand be healed now in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Joe, what's going on with your hand? Any change there? That's okay. Don't say you're sorry. I mean, we'll keep praying. So, anybody that had any type of improvement in your situation that got a word of knowledge, raise your hand. So, Bob, you had an improvement on that was your back? Back, and then your name is? Phil. Oh, hearing improved? Anybody else on the back? Your hearing, how's your hearing doing? Better, okay. So let's pray again, okay? So go ahead and let's invite the Holy Spirit, invite you again to come. So everybody with the hearing, go ahead and put your hands on your ears again. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, I just command, in Jesus' name, hearing be healed, in Jesus' name. Inflammation be gone now. Tinnitus be gone now. Inner ear be healed. Eustachian tubes be healed. Inflammation be gone now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now anybody up to about a 50% improvement, raise your hand. 50%? Go ahead. Go ahead and if you have to, click your fingers next to your ear. Okay. Anybody up to 50% improvement? Right here, 50% improvement. You have tinnitus really bad. You need more prayer. Okay. But anybody that's improved right now, about 50% improvement. Okay. Over here, 50% improvement. Okay. Amen. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Right? Praise the Lord. Okay. Bob, how are we doing over here? No, oh, you had the back issue. I'm sorry. So go ahead and stand up. Tell us what's going on with your back. It's worn out. But how's the pain? How's the pain?
It's better.
Right. And there you go. So on a 0 to 10, where do we start and where are you at now? So what was it when you were here? About a 2, so it's dropped. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, let's give the Lord a clap offering for that. Amen. Okay. And tell me your name again. Jim, is it Jim? Forrest, I'm sorry, Forrest. Forrest, so what's going on with it's your ears, right? No, it's not that good. Is that what you're saying? Okay. So go ahead and put it back in. And so it improved while it was in. Is that correct? Okay. So go ahead and stretch your hands toward Forrest. Anybody else with improved hearing besides Forrest? And your name is? Philip. Okay, so we'll pray. So just extend your hands toward Forrest. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come upon Forrest right now. And we just agree right now in Jesus' name for a complete healing of this ear. Is it just your right ear, Forrest?
Both of them.
Okay. So go ahead and this is your wife, right? Yeah, can you put your hand on his other ear right here? So hallelujah. Lord, we just agree right now in Jesus' name. Yeah. Ear be healed in Jesus. Ears be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we just command hearing be healed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Philip. Forrest, what's going on? Any improvement at that point? How are we doing? So go ahead and put it back in. So have you noticed a change since we prayed with it in?
Yeah, with it in, I do.
A big change. Lots of improvement with it in?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's go ahead and I want to just pray one more time for Forrest. Lord, we just agree right now for a complete healing for Forrest's ears. Lord, thank you for what you've begun to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So, Philip, what's going on with your ears? It improved. So is it both of them or just one of them? Both of them have improved. So can you give us a percentage? I know it's hard to estimate, but 23% improvement. Okay. So go ahead, and sir, what's your name?
Eric.
Eric, go ahead and lay hands on Philip for a minute. And go ahead and extend your hands towards Philip. Lord, we just agree right now in Jesus' name that Philip's hearing will be completely healed. Hearing be healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so what's going on, Philip? Any change? About the same. Okay. But what was it? About a 20 to 30% change? Okay, good. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask Bob to come on up. And we're going to dismiss those that need to go. But anybody that would like prayer, we'll stay here and pray for you. And Bob and Pat will be with me praying. And I think anybody else, Jack, if you want to join us as well, anybody else. So we're going to stay here and keep praying. But those that need to go can go. And I'm happy to pray as long as we need to pray. As long as there's improvement, I'll keep praying. So, Bob, go ahead and pray. Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you for what He's begun to do today. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming. Amen. Oh, by